And good morning. You're listening to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A Sitka man will spend 4 years in prison for felony drunk driving and auto theft. 32-year-old Walter D. Paradovich will also pay a $10,000 fine and over $9,000 for the loss of the vehicle he stole. According to court records, a patrol officer attempted to stop Paradovich in the early morning of June 30, 2013, as he drove a 2003 Chevy pickup on Harbor Drive near the O'Connell Bridge. Paradovich drove the truck through the roundabout, then headed east on Sawmill Creek Road. A second police officer joined the pursuit, which reached speeds over 65 miles per hour. Paradovich was apprehended after he struck a garbage can in the 2000 block of Sawmill Creek Road and drove off the road into a ditch containing large rocks and a tree stump. Officers extracted Paradovich from the truck and found him unable to stand on his own. The damaged truck, which had been smoking during the arrest, caught fire and subsequently burned. This was Paradovich's third DUI and second felony conviction. His driver's license had been revoked from the previous charges. According to the police report, officers had interacted twice before with Paradovich earlier in the evening, once in front of the Pioneer Bar when he had a 26-ounce bottle of alcohol in the front pocket of his sweatshirt, and a second time on the Pioneer home lawn where he had been sleeping on a bench. Superior Court Judge David George sentenced Paradovich to 5 years in prison with 1 year suspended for each of two offenses, vehicle theft in the first degree and felony driving under the influence. Paradovich will serve both sentences concurrently. Additionally, Paradovich was ordered to serve 60 days for misdemeanor theft on a separate shoplifting charge. The state has permanently revoked Paradovich's driver's license. He'll also be unable to register a vehicle in the state. The 2003 Chevy pickup truck was a total loss. The court determined its value to be $9,800. Paradovich will forfeit his Alaska Permanent Fund dividend every year he's eligible until restitution is fully paid to the vehicle's owner. Sea Alaska is looking for a young shareholder to take a seat on its board of directors. The person selected will be the sixth chosen for a one-year term as youth advisor. Nicole Hollingstad, the Regional Native Corporations Board Secretary, says it's an opportunity to develop leadership skills.
While they don't carry a vote in matters that the board discusses, they absolutely have a venue to provide their opinion, their insight, even their generational perceptions about the topics that are being discussed.
The current youth advisor is Alicia Guthrie, who will leave the board in June. She's studying marketing at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. Applicants must be tribal member shareholders with leadership potential. Hollingstad says they also must be college students or graduates.
The youth advisor position is one way where young shareholders can get an inside look into how their company, Sea Alaska, makes its decisions and the kind of discussion that happens around the boardroom table, and really provides that vital experience, discussion, and collaboration at a level that they might not have had a chance to experience in their career yet.
The youth advisor is paid $200 per board meeting. They also get a $2,500 scholarship. Hollingstad says the youth advisor also participates in community outreach events held in shareholder communities before Sea Alaska's June annual meeting.
They talk about some of the resources that are available to our younger shareholders, scholarships, the internship program, any employment opportunities. So we make sure that the youth advisor is well-versed, and they can talk about their experience and encourage people to stay involved with Sea Alaska.
The application deadline is March 31st. Paperwork is available on the Sea Alaska website, as well as posted on our website with this report. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation and the U.S. Coast Guard are still monitoring the site where a tugboat sank and leaked diesel fuel near Wrangell last week. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has this update on the spill response effort.
The 60-foot towing vessel Silver Bay 2 sank in approximately 120 feet of water about 5 miles south of the city of Wrangell early last week. The cause of the sinking is still unknown, but it is possibly related to the winter storm that moved through the area that afternoon. As of Friday morning, the vessel was leaking diesel fuel into the surrounding waters. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, or ADEC, estimates the amount of fuel on board at 3,500 gallons, but the size of the spill is still unknown. Sarah Moore is the ADEC State On-Scene Coordinator for Spill Response in Southeast. She says at this time, there are no beaches known to be contaminated.
We haven't gotten any reports of impacted shoreline animals, et cetera. We did do several beach assessments of the Institute Creek area, and by Friday, we couldn't find any sheen or indication of impact from the spill, either on the beach or on the water off the creek.
Institute Creek is a popular local shellfish harvesting area. Scott Wakefield is a marine science technician first class with the U.S. Coast Guard. He says divers were on scene by Friday evening to do an underwater assessment. They found the vessel upright and in good condition.
Went very smoothly, and everything was done in less than an hour. Alaska Commercial divers were able to cap off all of the tanks. So those are the fuel tanks, as well as the hydraulic tank, and they ended up closing a valve, I guess the outlet valve for the hydraulic fluid that would, you know, supply the equipment.
Wakefield says the Coast Guard reported very little sheening by Saturday morning. The containment boom and sorbent material appear to be adequately containing the diesel. Wakefield says what was left on the surface was mostly diesel that had collected near the dock earlier in the week. Sarah Moore says the ADEC will continue to monitor the cleanup and recovery effort, even though there does not appear to be any more active leakage.
And so the spill is more or less the source being contained. However, there's still going to be an unknown amount of product in the vessel and various engine and lube oils. So we're still working with the owner of the vessel to get it raised, and we'll continue working on the project until, you know, that objective has been met.
Moore says there is not a set timeline for raising the vessel yet. The tug is owned by Silver Bay Logging, but has not been used commercially in about 5 years. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
And the Forest Service is setting up an advisory board to help rewrite the Tongass National Forest's management plan. It's somewhat similar to another panel that shut down last year without completing its work. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Tongass managers have a couple big jobs ahead of them. They're reviewing and updating the land management plan for the 17-million-acre forest. They're also working on a roadmap for a transition from old-growth to young-growth timber harvests. So, the agency has decided to recruit 15 people for an advisory committee. Tongass supervisor Forrest Cole says they'll take about a year developing proposals for the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture and the Chief of the Forest Service.
What we're really trying to do is find folks that have experience with working in collaborative groups, knowledge regarding Southeast Alaska issues, willingness to work closely together, come up with a solution.
They'll include members of the industry, state and federal agencies, environmental groups, and tribal organizations. That sounds a lot like the Tongass Futures Roundtable, a larger group with a somewhat similar mission. It began about 7 years ago and shut down last spring after some timber and environmental groups quit. Cole says it broke ground that should ease the way for the advisory panel.
We had never had all of the interests in Southeast Alaska or even nationally sit down in the same room together. So it was a fairly lengthy process, probably 3 of the 6 years it was around. It took to get people to physically be able to sit in a room, have a conversation, and listen to diverse opinions.
Collaboration is the watchword.
Former Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello moderated the group and tried to keep it moving forward.
Even though the roundtable did not perhaps achieve a lot of what it had initially set out to do, it created, I think, a climate of discussion between parties who need to be talking with each other, but who historically did not.
Roundtable organizers hope to develop an overall compromise to ongoing Tongass timber battles, but Cole says it did more than meet.
There was a bridge timber proposal that was put together by Tongass Futures. It got us out of a heavily litigated number of projects that provided timber along the way to keep the current timber industry alive.
The Southeast Conference, a regional development organization, was part of the roundtable, but it joined the exodus of timber and state government representatives that led to its dissolution. The conference last year proposed its own Tongass management plan. Leaders hope to advance that as part of the advisory group's discussions.
I'm excited about it. I guess I should say I'm ready for another round because you just can't stop trying.
Shelley Wright is the conference's executive director. She says the new panel has a better chance of succeeding.
The roundtable really was not an official advisory group, so I think it may be a little bit different. You know, the undersecretary has actually said this is for his information, so I think that is going to give it a little more weight, so to speak.
Those interested in joining the Tongass Advisory Committee need to apply by February 27th. Cole says the Forest Service will choose members using its own standards.
They work among themselves to see if they can come up with a consensus-based recommendation that the Forest Service would take under advisement to further along the transition or the forest plan modification.
But you don't expect to make absolutely everybody involved in these issues happy?
No. In fact, there's a number of federal advisory committees that have been established that never came to fruition, weren't ever accomplished. It. So there's, you know, still a possibility that we can't get a recommendation out of this group, and if not, we'll proceed on.
Cole says the panel's work will not delay the review of the land management plan. That's expected to be completed in 2016. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. 51 degrees in downtown Sitka and overcast. Rain should develop today with highs around 52 and southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Expect rain tonight with lows around 48 and southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour gusting in exposed areas. And it should be mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of rain and highs around 50 degrees. Good morning.